Our next story will come from Kay Shoemaker Howell. I first met Kay at some, as I recall anyway, at some meetings for things like Schools on Trails and Get Outdoors Anchorage, where she was a dynamo, a real leader of those groups, getting great projects done, getting kids outdoors. She began her outdoor and environmental education career in Mexico. She's worked for the Girl Scouts of Alaska and at the BLM Campbell Creek Science Center. She got a Master's of Science in Outdoor and Environmental Ed at APU while writing a book on ecology and storytelling. She enjoys kayaking, skiing with her family, and currently working on the Kenai Peninsula for 4-H designing and teaching youth development and environmental education camps and programs. Please welcome Kay Shoemaker Howell.
So, any tweens out there? Any tweens? A few? Yeah? All right. Anybody have a tween or a teenager? All right. Anybody was a tween or a teenager once upon a time? Right. Okay. So here's what I know about tweens. They're smart. They're wicked smart. And sometimes, in their wicked smartness, they connive to do crazy wild things. And after having taught tweens for the better part of 30 years, I've learned a lot from them. But this story has to do with some of those patterns that I see in the tweens all the time. And I want to thank, by the way, the National Park Service RTCA program for helping me be here tonight, so I don't have to be on the Kenai Peninsula, but I get to share with you and kids in Anchorage too for the Schools on Trails program. So here's what I know. Sometimes those tweens and those teens that we know, or those characteristics that maybe we saw in ourselves, well, we're a lot like ravens. And here's how I know that. These are true stories. So the first part of my career here in Alaska, I was in Juneau, and I traveled throughout Southeast Alaska using the Alaska Marine Highway system. So you're traveling around on ferries, and it's a pretty sweet way to work. So I travel around from village to village, going to all these different coastal communities and teaching kids and having a really great time. So I got into this one community, and I walked out to the beach with one of the folks who were trying to set up this camp with me. And I was really hungry, and so that day we had gone out there, I had brought out like a, you know, picnic lunch and a blanket, and I spread it out on the beach, and I spread out the picnic lunch, and I was super, super hungry. And I get all the food set up, and I just sit down in the sand, and I'm looking out at the waves, and I'm thinking, wow, I love Southeast Alaska. I have a sweet job. And all of a sudden, I hear in the Sitka spruce right behind me, I hear this, "Mama, mama." And I'm thinking, wow, maybe there's like a lost kid in there or something. I don't know, but you know, the little thing in me that responds to emergencies and kids who need help and things like that, you know, turns on. And so I leave my nice little picnic blanket, all the food spread out on it, and I go back into the Sitka spruce trees, and I'm looking around, looking for some kid who's calling out for the mama. And then all of a sudden, I turn around, and sure enough, that raven who had said, "Mama, mama," from the tree was down on my picnic blanket eating my food. It's a true story. So that was my first clue. I mean, I knew how long that, you know, corvids are super smart birds, and ravens, being one of the largest of the corvid family, they got a lot of intelligence going on. But later that year, I was in another community, and we were out by some mud flats, and the other instructor who was working with me was down with a group of about 5 kids, and they were going after shrimp in the mud flats. And they had these really cool shrimp sluicer things that they like suck the shrimp right out of the sand. It's pretty cool. And so the kids are all having a really great time with this, and they're all totally, you know, focused on this, and they really want to use these shrimp sluicer things and go after these shrimp, and they're, you know, digging in there with their hands, and they're checking out the burrows, and they're looking at the little peaks and little valleys and figuring out how they live. And they're having a great time. But they're out on the mudflats, right? So their backpacks are way up where the grasses are, the dune grasses are, you know, a good 100 yards or so up from the dune grasses. I mean, where they are in the mudflats to the dune grass, about 100 yards. So the kids are up there on the mudflats, And as I'm looking out there with the instructor, all of a sudden, I hear the squawking up in this group of Sitka spruce. And I look up in the spruce trees, and there are about six ravens up there. And they're squawking, they're squawking, they're squawking, and they don't stop for a while. And I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, what are they doing up there? So, you know, I just kind of sit down and I watch them because I love to watch wildlife. It's one of those things, you know, it entertains me about as much as kids do. So, in any case, I'm watching these ravens, and pretty soon three of them fly down from the tree out to the mudflats where the kids are, and they start flopping around out on the mudflats, and they're making a whole bunch of sounds, and they're like, wah, 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 wah. And the kids, of course, are like, what? Totally distracted. And, you know, the instructor's trying to teach, and I'm about ready to run out there and just shoo the ravens away, but the curiosity got the best of me, so I gotta watch them for a little while. And sure enough, they keep squawking. The other three ravens fly down from the same tree. Mind you, they've been talking about this ahead of time. They fly down from that same tree and they go down to where the backpacks are out there, where the grasses are in the dune grass. And I watch these ravens one at a time. A raven would put its little foot down on a backpack, and another raven would take its beak onto the zipper, and another one would hold the other part of the backpack, and they'd open the zipper one by one, and they'd take the peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of the backpack. I kid you not, I watched them. Now, I didn't stop them because I had extra sandwiches in my backpack, so I knew the kids were gonna eat okay. But they went from backpack to backpack, all five or six backpacks. I don't remember how many kids were there, but they went to every single backpack, did the same thing. One stepped on it, another one grabbed the zipper. Now, evolution says that ravens should know nothing about zippers, right? It's not a part of their normal, you know, wildlife adaptation thing, but they have adapted way faster than we give them credit for, right? And they're super good problem solvers. Anyway, so they go to each backpack, one at a time, unzip it, take out the sandwich, unzip it, take out the sandwich. I'm watching this and it's totally blowing my mind. And these other ravens are over there where the kids are, totally creating a distraction. Blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, as soon as these three ravens in the dune flats, they have all of the sandwiches pulled out of the backpacks, they grab the sandwiches and their talons and they fly back up to that same spruce tree. And these other three ravens who are creating the distraction leave the kids and they fly up to the same spruce tree, and I watch them eat those kids lunch together, the criminals that they are. Now, you may not know this, but a group of ravens is called a murder, right? I'm absolutely convinced that if ravens wanted to, they really could murder if they needed to. That was a lot of conspiracy there. So I'm just saying, while you're out on the trails, while you're out watching the wildlife, you'll be amazed. And I like to draw parallels between people and animals and get kids connected to the stories that connect us all and make us all a part of this beautiful thing that we share out there. So thank you.